Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. We are live. Amanda Grace here with you. It's December 18th, 2024. Welcome to everybody jumping in from the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us. We see people coming in from Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Virginia, Beverly Hills, California. Hello, hello. We have multiple people coming in from California, Oregon, the Bronx, New York. My birthplace is in the house. We love the Bronx, New York, New Jersey, Jamaica. Our international audience is coming in now. Texas, Missouri, Buffalo, New York. Hello to our neighbors in Buffalo. We see many in Florida coming in. Long Island, our friends down there in Long Island, New York. Let's see who else is coming in. Minnesota. Texas, God bless Texas, is coming in, and many others are pouring in. All right, Belgium, welcome to our friends in Belgium. Send us some chocolate, would you? Okay, no, just kidding, but Belgians do make amazing chocolate. Amazing chocolate and amazing French fries, I hear. So I hear Belgium is known for those two things. And welcome to everybody else jumping on into our moderators and Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do from the Lord. Oh, Sweden. Someone that just came in watching from Sweden. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we're very excited to have you here with us. I have a very sobering word from the Lord. This one is coming in hot, and it really is. My team read it ahead of time. If you could share this right now, we would appreciate this, and like and subscribe, because this is a very sobering word for this time and for what is coming. And I'm going to explain a couple things after. So I'm going to open up in prayer. I have a few gifts to show, because we're going to do something a little lighthearted before I torch the place. And so this is what we're going to do. And so it'll give people time to come in too. So let's open up in prayer, and we are going to get into the word of the Lord tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. Father, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, we all fall short of your glory, Father God, and we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge before you, you sent your son Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died on Calvary. He died on the cross at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. That blood, he was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And that blood sprinkled onto the mercy seat at Calvary and purchased us, redeemed us, reconciled us back to you, Lord, made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. And then Jesus Christ, Yeshua, miraculously rose again in 3 days, ascended back into heaven, took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne, Father. And we honor that before you this day. We come before your courts with praise and thanksgiving, Father God, thanking you for who you are. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, into this place, Father God. Lord, let the weight and power of who you are and your might and your glory saturate the atmosphere. Let your power mightily move and go forth, that people tangibly feel your presence, Father God, as we go forth tonight. Father, go before me tonight, Lord. Be my front and rear guard, Father God. Fill me and those watching, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, allow me the humble privilege of being a vessel of your power, Lord. Let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, attack, sabotage, and harm to this broadcast, Ark of Grace Ministries, the sanctuary, Father God, and what you have given us, Lord. Father, we rebuke attacks against us and our employees. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ and command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, canceled, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it bound up and cast back to the dry places, pits, and areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most simply just the clay. Father God, you are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you. In fact, in your name, Yahweh is the breath, Father God. We are the dust of the earth without that breathed into us, Lord. Father, take all the glory, Father God. You deserve it, Father God. You are high and lifted up. You sit on the highest throne, Father God. We love you, Father God, and we praise your holy, matchless name. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Welcome to those who are jumping on during prayer. I have a very sobering word from the Lord to share. This word, like I said, is coming in hot. It is very fiery, and it is needed. So I'm going to explain something. I'm going to do gifts, and then I'm going to explain something before I read the word, because we have to get in the right mindset for this word. So people send gifts all the time, and we receive all your gifts, and we are so grateful for them. In fact, I put them on my shelves. I put them to my shelf over here that you can't see, and I love the gifts that people send, that they even take the time, because nobody has to look in our direction. Nobody has to watch. Nobody has to give us a thing, and I know that. It is because of Almighty God, and we are so appreciative that people do that for us. So I wanted to show you some gifts, being it's that time of the year, right? And so I want to thank, I'm actually wearing it right now, Mitchell and Cheryl in Florida. They sent me for my tallit, so my tallit doesn't keep falling off of me. Thank you so much. I have it on. It's beautiful. So I did put it on, and I absolutely love it. Happy Hanukkah to you as well. Hanukkah begins this year, Christmas Day, December 25th. We will be lighting the Hanukkah candles. Hopefully during one of the broadcasts, we can light the Hanukkah candles and do the prayer with all of you so you can experience that. Also, Rachel Faye Art. Archie smiling. Rachel, thank you so much. This is amazing. I absolutely love this. I'm sure our staff is going to find a wonderful place. Our sanctuary staff takes all the animal pics and plasters them all over the place in the house. So thank you so much for that. And then I have from, this is a very pretty card, Kara and Peekaboo. From Kara and Peekaboo, she sent me these lovely oven mitts, and I have been baking. I will send you pictures of me baking. She sent me this and a lovely, so I don't get my outfits messed up, an apron to bake with, and she sent me a shirt as well. She sent me a beautiful shirt. Blessed all day, every day. Amen. Amen to that. So thank you so, so much for that. And now this. We love all gifts. We love all the gifts. But this, I absolutely love. I'm going to tell you who it's from, because once you see it, some of you are going to want to order some. This is from Z Laser Designs. His name is Carlos Zelaya. His phone number is 310-303-8801. He laser cuts wood, and I'm going to show you what was done for us, actually, because this is coming from Lori. Carlos is her friend. So Lori ordered this from Carlos for us. Laser cut of the nativity, which is beautiful. And then you're not going to believe this. They laser cut all of the animals at Ark of Grace. So they actually laser cut. Here's Archie. Here's Noah. Okay, I'll show you who else. Here's Boots and Chet. They laser cut. Let's see who else is in here. Up, here's Cyrus and Grace. So they're in here. And who else is in here? Josie, Bixby, Charlotte, Penelope, and the little troublemaker Esther. right there. And so it is just amazing. And one more, Shalom the duck is in here. I saw Shalom earlier. There's Shalom, our mallard duck. And so we're just so touched by this, and we are going to put these to good use at both of our properties. We are going to hang these all up. So once again, if you're interested, it's Carlos Zelaya, and his phone number is 310-303-8801. So, and he has it on his business card, so I think it's okay to say. Let's put it that way. Otherwise, I would never give out a phone number. But thank you so much for this. We absolutely love it. We're going to put them up. We're going to put them up. They're so cute. And we were so touched by that. So thank you to everyone who sends. We so appreciate it. We very much appreciate you even taking the time to do that. So we are very touched by that. Okay, now get into the word of the Lord. It's time. And I got some things to say after the word that the Lord has been speaking with me about that I have been writing down and just praying. Now, let me put this up. Now, we have to understand before I read this word, because you're going to understand why I'm saying this when I read this word, our role in the prophetic. So, for an example, Nathan the prophet, he on one end was coming in opposing David, right? So Nathan comes in and opposes David when David does what he does with Bathsheba. And then fast forward, Nathan is now has to come in by instruction of God to now help Bathsheba so Solomon doesn't lose the kingship that God ordained. So prophets have to move, and people in the prophetic have to move with what the Lord wants, not how they feel. There's a big difference, and you have to learn to separate it, and it is not easy because your flesh wants to go with what you feel, and feelings can be very deceiving in a situation. So we have to move with what God wants us to say, not how we personally feel. There are times where the Lord may have us say something and we don't feel that way at the moment, but we have to say it because how God feels ultimately overrides how we feel in our flesh, because the flesh is at enmity with God. And so I'm telling you this because we have to move that way in the prophetic. We cannot become stagnant or stale and stay stationary in one place, because we have to move with what the Lord is saying, not how we feel. That is just so important. Now, let me get up the word. This word is long. About 5 pages, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, this is a longer word for sure. And I was on my face before the Lord because I was praying in the spirit. I felt the presence of the Lord enter the room. And normally before I get a word from the Lord, I'm on my face in my office before the Lord. Why? Because I have to humble myself before the Lord for this. You can't be puffed up and receive a word. You have to humble yourself before the Lord and submit and minister before the Lord. And so that is what happened this morning. And this, where people are already writing, they feel the power of the Holy Spirit moving. They could actually begin to feel it already moving. So all glory be to God for that. So let's begin with the word, shall we? Praise be. Oh, before we begin too, sorry. It has to do with the church and the government. So this word has both right now, what is going on, just so you know, it's going to deal with both these matters. Okay. Praise be to the Lord of hosts, maker of heaven and earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards all men. Yours is the glory and power and honor forever and ever, O Lord, who is the creator and sustainer of all things. And to your kingdom, there is no end. And the Spirit of the Lord says this day, all capitals, a house divided cannot stand, says the Lord. A house divided cannot stand, for division is weakness. In division, there is turmoil. In division, there is chaos. In division, there is destruction. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came, and the storms came, says the Lord, and destroyed what the foolish man had built upon the sand. What was built upon the rock endured the storm, however, the storm did not overtake them. Do not capital in this hour, think, says the Lord. You can build your house, your kingdom, upon the place where that house built upon sand was destroyed. For if you build such in that place, what you have built, you will lose as well, says the Lord. For your foundation will not be one set upon a firm place, a righteous place, and a place of my word, capital. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, says the Lord. And I am searching the hearts of those within the government and within the church, says the Lord. I am searching their hearts, all capitals. I am searching the motive for your actions, for your calls for transparency, for your calls for justice, for your calls for accountability, for a company of voices, says the Lord, are speaking and calling for such. However, within that company of voices, a stench has arisen, says the Lord. The words may be right, the words may be sound, the words may be right, the words may sound right. Every talking point, says the Lord, may align. However, capital, says the Lord, the breath, capital, the motive from which it comes, there is a stench, says the Lord, there is a stench. Check yourselves, says the Lord, your motive. Check yourselves, says the Lord, before I, the Lord, check you. And that's capital. I am a God of justice and righteousness. I am the God who weighs the matters of nations and men, of kings and leaders. I am the Lord thy God who weighs the matters of the church. I, the Lord, weigh righteously. And I, the Lord, in this hour am weighing the matters of the church and the company of voices that are surrounding an adulterous woman before me, yelling, she must die, stone her. However, capital, says the Lord, those who caught her in the act were there as well, and they were accountable before me because of their involvement with her before they decided to take her and make a spectacle before Jesus of her. So he's talking about the whole church here. My son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, who sits at my right hand, stood before the woman. And he knelt down and wrote in the sand, and he stood up with all power and authority given him by me, the Lord God Almighty. And he said, capitals, let he that has no sin cast the first stone. The crowd, the mob of voices chanting death, suddenly went silent, says the Lord. Where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? All capitals, go and sin no more, or worse will happen to you. That woman was warned, says the Lord, or worse will happen to you. That woman represents those in the church. That woman represents those who have been persecuted by the world. That woman represents a lifetime of brokenness and bondage that brought her to the point of death, to that line, says the Lord. However, capital, says the Lord, my son Jesus Christ came so that you may have life and life more abundant. The enemy has attempted to steal the abundance of life in this hour, to make a statement, an outcry around a time of joy, capital. The enemy is attempting to steal, kill, and destroy. At a time of joy, the enemy has sent out an army of fear and rage and vitriol to infiltrate your nation's branches and the church. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a big fall, capital. The footsteps of pride are attempting to get louder, to drown out and distract those from hearing amidst all the chaos, accusation, brokenness, noise that swirls like a tempest right now. It swirls like a tempest around your nation. It swirls like a tempest around the church. A storm of man's making, says the Lord. A storm of man's decisions, says the Lord. A storm that is meant to cause those lured into, a storm that is caught, that is meant to cause those lured in to react out of emotion, not out of wisdom, so they may see what I see, says the Lord. Desperation has turned to handing over keys to those who so desperately want to drive the narrative. That desperation caused hasty decisions, says the Lord, that will cause a crash, if not slowed down, says the Lord. I am flashing a light of caution, says the Lord. Caution, capital, slow down and look around you. Thus says the Lord, I, the Lord, will vindicate, uphold, and heal the innocent. Trauma is the root of much destruction in this world, says the Lord. The enemy needs a trauma to occur before he has access to cause any destruction. He needs trauma and agreement on some level, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, my eyes wander to and fro across the earth, and they have seen what wicked leaders have done. I have seen the desperation that is mounted in leadership of nations and the earth. The walls they built now closing in on them, says the Lord. The walls they built are now what corners them. And some of those walls must now come down, says the Lord. They must, for it is an appointed time within the earth. It is an appointed time within Italy, says the Lord, and its religious establishment that has led many into a religion and rituals I, the Lord, am not in. What they attempt to open in Italy, says the Lord, shall be the downfall of the religious establishment first, says the Lord, and then a shakeup in their governments, for I, the Lord, am sweeping across Europe. The winds of change, of correction, have fiercely begun to blow, for their elaborate sandcastle must come down, says the Lord, they must. The euro will see an exit, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, I am dealing with a persecuting spirit in England, for the enemy has attempted to direct it back to its roots, where they lorded over groups and oppressed them who believed and trusted in me. The enemy has attempted to get leadership to look in the rearview mirror of such. However, I, the Lord thy God, am about to snap the neck of parliament and leadership back into alignment. For it is out, says the Lord, it is out. England and Italy, just watch, says the Lord. For their elaborate churches and structures are empty tombs, says the Lord. They are tombs. The Holy Spirit and Ruach Elohim is not there. It cannot dwell where man has hoisted up and lifted up fallible men that are not to be worshipped, says the Lord. Capitals, Ichabod, says the Lord, Ichabod. And from the departure in this season, revival shall break out in parts of Europe, for the darkness broods over areas as my spirit of truth and righteous judgment comes in to remove leaders who have continued to defy me, the Lord Most High, and have rebelliously continued in lies and cover-ups and liberal wanton ways that are agendas of darkness. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, another clash in America as desperation has mounted to a feverish pitch, says the Lord. Hearing marching towards a fall, capital. March, that's capital and marching. Marching, says the Lord. Around that time, says the Lord, there will be a moment in your nation where deliverance is desperately needed. And I, the Lord, will reverse the loophole the wicked have found to keep those bound to certain charges that are a vapor of lies. I, the Lord, will reverse judgments that are being held on to keep a chain on the one breaking free to sit in the highest seat in your land. A bang in January, says the Lord, a bang in January, around that time, says the Lord, they plot for blood at this time, says the Lord, however, for such you shall be ripped from your seats of influence in the bureaus and the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon, says the Lord, for you have been allured with the aroma of another 9/11 to turn the nation. You have been allured with delicate dainties that are deceit, says the Lord. All capitals. It is a deception, and I shall uncover you, says the Lord. Your plots, your deceptions, your working with nations involved in war to turn America on a chain where you want it to go. You foul, perverse leaders. You foul, perverse agencies. I shall turn you, says the Lord. Another Strauch and Page, says the Lord. Sound the alarm. I, the Lord, gave you this seat, Donald Trump, and at the two-year mark there shall be a turn, says the Lord. I gave you this seat, Donald Trump, And if you serve the interests of the intellectuals you have packed the room with, instead of my capital interest, says the Lord, I shall and will shuffle the deck. Yes, I, the Lord, have appointed some who do not even know they have been called of me. However, capital, the enemy has positioned some with their big business and intellectual pomp. They have been positioned to attempt to lead you astray. All capitals. I, the Lord, will not allow such, and I will remove, says the Lord, as this happens, and place people who are submitted to me, says the Lord, for you cannot have the idols of all those in the room compete, says the Lord, you cannot. It's going to get a bit ugly in those meetings, says the Lord, until the ignorance stops and my ways are submitted to, even by those who do not fully believe. They will be compelled to submit. Do not let the distraction of infighting, accusation, and placation in this hour distract you, says the Lord, and cause your emotions to lead you around by the neck. It is a setup to step into major error because your emotions are blinding you. Justice cannot become an obsession, says the Lord. It has to be a mission. And the two are very different. And those who have not fully matured have caused part of the body, I believe the church he's talking about, have caused part of the body to have an obsession with cries for justice instead of a mission. I, the Lord, will not act out of obsession and will not bless when obsession is present. Obsession is bondage. I am the righteous judge. My rulings are righteous. My actions are just. Rectification, justice, and correction must come from a place of righteousness, not of the flesh, and desiring to burn something to the ground. For you may burn your own ground and house in an act of spiritual arson. Spiritual arson is occurring, says the Lord. And my word, capital, the water, capital, will put it down in a sobering way. For I am a God of order. I hate lawlessness, all capitals. I am calling order in this hour. Truth and order, for I, the Lord, will make the picture clear, not those with an angle. A very crooked angle, for a spirit has entered that is not of me. And I, the Lord, will drop that plumb line in the church and within the company of voices bringing outcries in this hour. Watch and see, says the Lord, there is about to be a shuffle and a sobering truth will come forth from such. Stand on my word, capital, not your hurt, not your flesh. Not what you think should be or exclusives you can get. My word, capital, and my wisdom, capital, for I see things from a much different perspective, for I see the whole block of time and events. The chains of addiction will fall and come off, and the spirits that were welcomed in through marriages, through executives, through the world entering by day. All those chains will be broken. However, says the Lord, parts will have to come down and be no more to build the way I, the Lord, intended as a road of turmoil and perdition looked like a gift. It is a woe, says the Lord, meaning curse. Woe is curse in the Old Testament. I am bringing correction to the church, for culture cancels in the world and it has infiltrated and permeated the church. If I, the Lord, anoint a man or woman, for all are fallible and fall short of my capital glory, do not dare make a mockery of my capital power and of such. Anointed people fall short. They get into bondage. They make mistakes, just like all of you. That's capital. However, if I anoint, do not dare make a mockery, a joke, or a passive swipe, for that is my power, I, the Lord, released and poured into those who I have called. It is not your job, says the Lord, to create a referendum on my power. That's capital. It is your job to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Be salt, be light, and be truth, capital, in accordance with my word. That's capital. The court of public opinion has now judged feuds in the government and in the church. all capitals. The court of public opinion. Not my court, says the Lord. My court. However, there are more than that. However, there are more that are about to speak who have had the weight of conviction and humility placed upon them. And you will see the difference. My court, says the Lord, is in session. And my judgments will come down. And that is what will be upheld. Walk in my ways and circumspectly before me. There is a window before those who obey my word of promotion. There is a window of promotion. However, it will not be self-fabricated. It will not be moving and shaking for a position or an interview. It will be because I, the Lord, have searched their heart and found them worthy. A very serious changing of the guard is about to occur in the church, says the Lord. The church cannot get stuck in the valley of the shadow of death because their shepherds abandoned them. They're ill-equipped. The shepherds stepping in will shine a light in the darkness and revive part of the church that is dying. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in the name of my son, Jesus Christ, who sits at my capital right hand. Amen and amen. I feel that. I feel that. Very strong. And what the Lord is saying here when he's saying about anointing, he's not saying do not weigh somebody against the word of God. What he's saying is don't make a mockery or a joke or take a swipe at the power that he released to anoint that person. That was still his power he released. And when you make a mockery of it, you make a mockery of him. And you put yourself at opposition with him. That's very different than taking somebody's actions and weighing them against the word to give you the clarity you need to understand what's going on in a situation. You see what I'm saying? So he's drawing the difference there for you because people want to all too quick, when they have so much darkness in their past, take a swipe at somebody who God has called. If they falter. And the problem is if it's the call that's being mocked, and if it's the power that God released to anoint them being mocked, that is where they step into error. And that is where they are mocking the power of God. Ultimately, that is very different than somebody doing rebellious things who has gone astray, who was called and then gone astray. And you are weighing them against a word in a way that is righteous before the Lord. So you have clarification about what is going on. So I just wanted to make that clear to everybody, because there is a lot in this word. And the problem with companies of voices are they can muddy the waters. And let me get this up. I'm going to say a few things because that I had been sensing from the Lord before the word came. I started writing these things down before the word came. And then the word came. So I started what I'm about to tell you first. I started writing down first, and then the word came from that. So first of all, we hear a lot in this time more and more about intelligence and central intelligence and artificial intelligence and intelligence gathering and things like that. And that word is being used more and more, which means if the world is ramping it up, the Lord is attempting to push his intelligence forward through and by the Holy Spirit. And we have to pay attention to that, because the enemy attempts to get ahead of it, what the Lord is doing, in an attempt to cut off the plans and purposes of Almighty God and interfere in them. And so you want to be very careful. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying from the Lord, because like I said, I have to say what the Lord wants me to say. I can't always say how I feel, because the flesh will deceive you. The flesh and your emotions in a situation, if you do not check them and put them over here, will deceive you in a direction you are not supposed to go. So you want to be careful about building a name upon the trauma of somebody else. okay, especially within the church. You have to be circumspect about this, and you have to be careful. Because if your name is built upon such, right, if your platform is built upon such, that is the foundation of your growth. So making a name for yourself off of that, then that very, that very trauma will rear itself in a way that you will reap in some way, and your platform will reap in some way. And that harvest of trauma and scandal that you have built your platform off of exposing can come full circle and actually be what takes your own platform down when the harvest comes to fruition. So you have to be careful and walk it in the Lord, how he wants you to do it. Not what a company of voices is pressuring you to say, not what your flesh is pressuring you to say, but how the Lord wants you to walk in it. Now, there are things that need to be brought to justice. There are things that always have to be brought to justice. Harming of the innocent always has to be brought to justice and dealt with because it's a horror. However, the Lord is watching and searching the hearts of those speaking about what is happening right now within the church and within Christian broadcasting. Okay, so he's watching and searching the hearts of those who are speaking about this, and the motive of their hearts are being called into question by the Lord. This is going to happen in some very public ways. And I'm not talking about everyone, but the Lord is searching everyone's heart, and he's going to call into question where the motive is not right, because this has been this situation now with the church and with Christian broadcasting has been dragged into the digital Roman Colosseum of media. Okay, so this has been dragged into this digital Roman Colosseum right now of media. And I'm going to say this. The Lord has given me an incredible platform that I thought I would never have. And I'm humbly grateful to the Lord. Am I perfect? No, none of us are perfect. But I am humbly grateful to the Lord that he gave this to me and that the Lord has blessed me with this. And because the Lord has given me a platform, I don't need to build the platform on the back of a fall of another, right? I don't need to do that. Because you see, we all have to remember David may have slayed Goliath, right? So he may have slayed Goliath, but then the Lord allowed David to be chased and persecuted and refined by the Lord for over 8 years as Saul chased him and the Lord refined him. So after David slays Goliath, he doesn't immediately get the kingship and built up. He gets chased down like a dog for 8 years until David understands his place underneath the Lord and he understands how to handle what God has given him. And we like to think, you know, we like to talk about David versus Goliath, but we don't like to talk about what happened to David for 8 years after the Goliath. So if you want to jump up and down that you slayed a giant, expect to be persecuted for years and refined by God. Because David, when he slayed that giant, was so brazen, God had to refine him after. And what's happening in this, and here, please hear what I'm saying here. Hear what the Lord has been pressing upon me. You have to be careful when you call yourself a discernment ministry, because Paul went around, he preached the gospel, and he called out sin where it was. You know what I'm saying? It was just a part of the ministry. He didn't say, oh, I have a discernment ministry, but it was part, right, of Paul's ministry. It was just a facet of it. But what can happen with some of these platforms is they are emotionally riling up those who do not have an adequate level of discernment. And now they have angry mobs firing arrows at other ministries that are innocent, at other ministries that are not doing these horrible things that you speak of. And now that spirit of accusation and persecution and cancel culture has gone out in this and is now accusing some who have not taken part in these corrupt things, but they're accusing them because the discernment ministries aren't making it clear to their people People, this isn't everyone. Please don't go and go out there accusing every ministry of this. Please don't do that. We're discussing this, but please don't think everybody is like this. And please don't go firing arrows haphazardly at people that may very well be innocent. You see, they're not doing that. And they're firing up people in their emotions and angry mobs. And then angry mobs want to attack anybody that has a platform, anybody that's known. Well, what happens to these discernment ministries as they grow? Are they going to be just like everybody else they accuse? Because if they say all of them are bad but me, that's narcissism. That is a spirit of narcissism. When you start saying all the other ones out there are bad but me, that's a spirit of narcissism. And we have to be careful of this because discernment is precise. It's not sloppy. Discernment is precise. It's not sloppy. When it gets sloppy, it's no longer discernment. It is just defecating garbage everywhere that ends up smearing everyone and doesn't accomplish a darn thing except causing chaos and confusion. Just make sure you're not causing your audience to go in an online mob and incite them to attack others who are serving the Lord who may be innocent. Other ministries, other people out there that may be known, make sure you are not gaslighting. Because if you are gaslighting, you are as guilty as the party you accuse. You can't rile up broken and damaged people to go and attack everyone. You can't do that. You can't get them in a tizzy that they think everyone is bad. Every minister is bad. Every minister is corrupt. You can't do that. You are defeating the purpose and you are giving the enemy exactly what he wants, if that is what you're doing. We cannot have a spiritual Maury Povich. Remember Maury Povich? You are not the father. And the crowd would erupt and the guy would scream. We can't have a spiritual Maury Povich. You know why? Because the world is laughing at us. We can say there has to be accountability. Absolutely. We can say there has to be transparency. We can say, you know, there has to be, you know, a walking in alignment with the word of God. There has to be a surrender to the Lord. There has to be a standard. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard. We are supposed to be the standard that the world comes to. We're supposed to be the standard that the world comes to. And when we start looking like spiritual Maury Povich and Jerry Springer, which if you go back in scripture, especially the Old Testament, we can call out things. Sarah, Abraham, and Hagar, the first love triangle. Yep, all those love triangles that showed up on Jerry Springer, there you go. Jacob and Esau. A brother's feud because parents interfered where they had no business interfering with their children. We see these things in scripture. You know, there's something called sheep rattlers, and I learned this from a friend in Texas. There is something called sheep rattlers. And what sheep rattlers do, I think that's what they're called, or sheep wranglers or sheep rattlers, but they try to steal another shepherd's flock. They go and they literally try to find weaknesses and steal another shepherd's flock. Now, sometimes shepherds abandon their flocks. They don't take care of their flocks and their flocks scatter and they find other shepherds, and that's perfectly fine. But sheep rattlers wait for the moment of weakness and then they try to go steal someone else's flock. And you have people in this speaking out, and the enemy is going, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who the hey are you? That's what's happening in this. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Meaning, I don't know you. Let me tell you something. You want the enemy to know you. I mean, you want him to see you as a threat. You want him to know that you are for the kingdom of God and you cannot easily be swayed or drug around on a chain by your emotions. So that now you're doing his bidding and you don't even know it. You know, you've got NATO in the secular world. And we shouldn't, you know, in a way you see like this NATO forming in the Christian world. Building a tower of Babel. Babel is idle talk. There are those right now that are building a tower of Babel in this. They are not standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ and speaking wisdom and biblical sense into a situation that has divided the Christian world. And yes, does the Lord expose? Absolutely. Does the Lord call to account? Yes. Does a grace theory period thin? And then the Lord calls people to account for what they have done? Yes. But I will tell you something about the Lord. The Lord will always come to you privately first. Always, to try to get you to turn from your sin. And then maybe he'll send somebody that you trust and try to get you to turn. And the Lord privately many times will try to get you to steady the boat before he allows something to come out in a public spectacle. He will try and he will try. And then there comes a point where you will not listen and you have dug in your heels. And the only way now to correct it is to bring it out in the open. Yes, that does happen. Jesus looked at the Pharisees to their face and called them a brood of vipers. Now, he did that when the Pharisees first attacked him. So he would only do those things many times when they would attack him first. And he would respond, but he would strategically respond. He would respond in a way that would corner them. And they would squirm like the snakes that they were. And if you look about who was around Jesus, his closest confidants, if you look at the 12 disciples that Jesus had, one of them denied him three times. These are his closest allies. Denied him three times. The other one, Judas, was a thief. Betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Betrayed him for wealth. Betrayed him for notoriety amongst the Pharisees. Judas wanted to position himself in a position of power amongst the religious establishment. And Judas, once an ally of Jesus, sold him for wealth and notoriety amongst the Pharisees and the people to be paraded amongst the people while they yelled, "Crucify him." So those people did to Jesus the same thing they did to that adulterous woman. Stone her, kill her. And then Jesus himself, the Lamb of God, was put before the people and they yelled, "Crucify him." "But what has he done? What crime has he committed?" said Pilate. "Give us Barabbas." Barabbas was an insurrectionist. "Give us the one who really broke the law. Let him off the hook. Crucify the one who didn't break the law, but who challenged the beliefs of the religious establishment." There are people in this that are going to sell each other out very soon. There are people in this issue amongst the church and Christian broadcasting that are going to sell each other out very soon. There are board members. There are people in this who have been wronged. There are people in the podcast world that are going to sell each other out very soon for this. Because there's too much to gain. There's too much of a pot. There's too much of a pot of growth and notoriety and other things now that has gone into that pot that is a little too tempting. And this is why this has become a smoldering situation. In fact, professional arsonists, what they do is they start a smoldering fire by a door. And that smoldering fire lacks oxygen, okay? And then what happens is the door is opened and that oxygen just comes bursting into the room and causes an explosion and a backdraft and makes it 10 times worse. We are about to witness in the church and the world of Christian broadcasting a backdraft because of spiritual arson. We are about to witness this. The door is opening, and it's going to surprise you, some of the people who are on the receiving end of that backdraft, because people are making mistakes out of emotion in this and error. And the words may be right, but the breath stinks. The motive, the place in the heart that only God can see, that's what he's weighing right now. He's weighing the motives of who's saying what and why. He's weighing the motives of timing. He's weighing the motives of journalists. He's weighing the motives of ministers. He's weighing the motives of podcasters. He's weighing the motive. Because the enemy can allure you to pursue justice too quickly and fall into a hole and a trap. Justice has to be pursued how the Lord wants it pursued. And when we pursue it too fast, we do what the people did to Jesus Christ, crucify him, when there was no reason for that man to be crucified. What we say, we are held accountable for. What we say, we are held accountable for. And we're held accountable for it because words have power. Words have influence. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We are held accountable according to scripture, just like everybody else. And in fact, if you have a ministry or a discernment ministry or any kind of ministry, God holds you to an even higher standard because you have influence. And you can lead people that aren't quite spiritually there yet astray pretty fast. If you yourself are not coming from a place of being anchored in the word. And there's about to be a backdraft in this. There is about to be a backdraft. Because there has been a smoldering fire. And that door is about to be opened. You know, you have to serve God. You can't worship man. You can't worship them. Man is fallible. God is not. Man is the messenger. All we are vessels that God fills. We are fallible, broken vessels that God puts on the potter's wheel and refines us and molds us and then fills, all to point people back to him, his glory, and to get people in a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Not to lead people around the neck by emotion. And I'm going to tell you this, I see a lot of tricks used that shouldn't be used. Oh, the Lord told me 1,000 people are going to give, 20 people are going to give $1,000. That has to stop. That is nonsense. Now, the Lord can bless. The Lord will bless people who are obedient. Look at Abraham. Look at David. Look at Ruth. Look at Esther. He will bless people who are obedient. But it's a tool. It's a tool to use to further God's interests. You see what I'm saying? And in my case, I chose to do certain things for certain reasons. If you notice, I talk very little about donating. It's in the description. You go figure out that out with the Lord yourself. That's between you and the Lord. My voice needs to be out of that. Secondly, we don't do commercials on YouTube, although YouTube may slip them in there. It's not us, and we're not making any money off of it. We don't do commercials on YouTube because I cannot control what YouTube deems family friendly. And a totally inappropriate commercial could come on before I give a word from the Lord. And I don't think that's right. And I don't think that's ethical. So instead, we do the sponsorships where these are Christian people who have businesses, who then on top of it, I can control what's being said. Because you have to protect your platform. And it hedges the ministry. It hedges the sanctuary. It helps pay for extra things the animals need. It helps pay for things my husband needs because he's asking for something every week. I don't know how else to say it. He's asking for something every week. And I believe the Lord is bringing much into question. And I believe the Lord is bearing down conviction upon ministers in this hour. But I also believe the Lord is about to bear down the conviction on the podcasters who are making people act more out of emotion than out of a biblical discipline. Ministers and their ministries, conviction is bearing down on them in this hour. And some of them are a millstone. That is happening. You know why? Because if we expect God to clean out the government and clean out the swamp in Washington, D.C., we got to expect him to clean out the swamp in the church. We can't say, God, go judge Washington, D.C. and all these corrupt congressmen and women and go judge the branches of government and go judge these things and expect that God isn't going to search the church and find the swamp and find the stench, because swamps stink. They stink. And find the stench and clean it out. The problem is people think too much God needs their help. I'm going to help God along in this. I'm going to push it so this comes to light quicker. And you could be screwing up God's timing in something and totally bringing down something God wants to expose. But now because you've stepped ahead of it with your big mouth, now it's delayed. This is why you have to use discernment. I do believe the Lord is calling a lot into question. And I believe he's doing it because he was cried out to for the nation. And he said, judgment begins in the house of God. So if I'm going to do it in the nation, I have to bring the correction in the church. But I'm going to say this too. I see a lot of podcasters that are yelling about people taking donations. And then at the end of their podcast, they go, to donate to the work that we do, please go here. Be very careful. You're going to yell about other people taking donations if you're going to do that at the end of your podcast. You have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. No, you can't make people give out of emotion. Don't give out of emotion. Give because God is telling you to. Don't give out of emotion. It's wrong. Don't do it. You give because we have to be cheerful givers. We're supposed to be. So I'm saying we have to be careful how much we are attacking something and that there's not a spirit of narcissism there. And a lot of what's being attacked, that person is doing themselves. Because a spirit of narcissism has entered the arena. It has. And we have to be very aware of that. Yeah, where our treasure is, our hearts will be also. Where our heart is, our treasure is. That's why when the Lord tells me to give something up, I give it up. I want you to take this and give it to this person. Okay, gone. I have learned. Just let it go. It's not worth it. If God is asking you to give it, there's a reason, but make sure he's the one asking you to give it. Make sure it's not the promise of somebody telling you you're going to be getting a 6,000 square foot house if you give $1,000. Are you taking care of the house you have now? Can you afford the house you have now? Can you afford the 2,500 or 3,000 or whatever square foot, 1,500 square foot house you have now? Because if you can't even afford that now, well, you're going to have to work with the Lord if the Lord wants to give you that. You're going to have to work with the Lord if he wants to give you that. What people leave out, people love to use the prosperity gospel. And what they leave out of that the prosperity is the definition of prosperity isn't just money, but they leave out the process. God has to take you through a process of maturing before you can receive a level of prosperity that he believes you can steward well. You have to go through a process of maturing and responsibility and learning. So you don't squander and bury what he's given you. So no, if you can't handle your finances now, God's not going to give you triple now, so you can mismanage that too. And the prosperity gospel in many ways makes you think that. We don't have an irresponsible God that wastes his resources to give it to you so then you can turn around and do the same cycle you've been doing. No, he breaks the cycle in our lives. He brings us through a process and he sets us up for success because God is not a God of failure on his end. We fail all the time. On his end, he's not a God of failure. And yes, a lot of the gimmicks have to be cleaned out. The gimmicks. The emotional manipulation to get a donation. It has to be cleaned out. There's a lot that has to be cleaned out of the church now. And because why? Because with what's going on with the nation and the church, it's the same root. God is dealing with the same root. He's dealing with the same issues that are plaguing the nation and the church. This is a double deliverance, double gutting, double cleansing, double transparency. They're running parallel. But we have to be careful we don't create angry mobs and send them out with torches and stones to go attacking people who are innocent, to go attacking all ministries just because they're a ministry. If you have a podcast and you're charging people memberships for exclusive access, you better be careful what you say. If you're a podcast and you're asking for donations bluntly at the end, you better be careful what you say. I do it the way I do it here because we give everything away for free. You get the teachings, you get the notes, you get the website, you get everything for free. We don't charge anybody anything to watch, to go on and get notes, to go on and search the blog, to go on our website, to go look at the sanctuary. We don't charge a dime because God freely gave it, so we're freely giving it. And that's why I've set things up the way I have. There's righteous indignation and then there's vitriol, and the church has to learn the difference. There's righteous indignation and then there's slander. The church has to learn the difference. And God is dropping a plumb line on the podcasters, and he's searching the motives of the heart right now. And if the motive is not pure and there is a stench, they're going to find themselves in the same position they just accused others of. Because there are things that have to be exposed right now, and there is transparency that has to happen. And there is a massive correction in the church that has to take place. And there are people that have been abused in the church, and they've been used, and they've been manipulated. And that is horrible, because manipulation is witchcraft. That has to be dealt with. But it has to be dealt with by people willing to hear from the Lord on the matter, not people out of their flesh who are just looking for a good Maury Povich storyline. We have to teach the people through this. Teach them how to discern better, how to process better, how to deal better, how to go to the Word. When these things happen, you should be in your Word more. You should be going to the Word. You should be seeking God out in the Word, because that's where the answers are. We have to use discretion and caution and wisdom and counsel in how we handle things because of what's about to happen now. Because of this backdrift. Because it's about to happen. God has no issue calling people to account that abuse what he's given them. He has no issue doing it. In fact, he could do it better than me or anyone else or any podcaster ever could. He's got no issue doing it. But it's in his timing. And his timing and our timing look very different. At times, we want it now. And he's going, well, if you wait a little while longer, it's going to be way more effective. No, we want it now. Well, if you wait, it's going to be more effective. And we yell, we want it now. And the Lord goes, okay, just like with King Saul. Oh, you want a king? Here you go. And it's a mess. This is why God's timing in transparency and exposure is so crucial. To truly bring forth and accomplish what he wants to accomplish through the exposure. Because God just doesn't want to accomplish destruction through the exposure. He wants to effect change. He wants to change. He wants to rebuild. He wants to correct. He wants people's souls saved in it. He wants them to run from the ways of rebellion and the road of perdition they went on, because it looked like a gift, and it wasn't a gift. It's a curse. And now some of these people have brought curses on their ministries of their own doing that God can break and God can reverse, but requires surrender, submission, and obedience. Because obedience to God is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all you want, but if you're a rebellious son of a gun, it ain't going to matter to God. It's going to be a stench. Your sacrifices before him will be a stench. So just know that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God is not some harmless little kitten. He is the creator of all things, and with one word, he could wipe out the earth. And we have to have a reverential fear before him when we talk about these issues in the church. And we have to use a lot of wisdom, because hurt, pain, and desperation will make people jump the gun at times and do things that will muddy the waters, make a bigger mess, cause more confusion, and now God's purpose in it is lost amongst the mud and the darkness and the confusion and the chaos and the infighting. It's lost. We need God's purpose out of this. We need God's correction out of this. We need God to deal with the hurting people right now so they don't take that hurt and go cause a forest fire that then is going to cause so much damage. It's going to take years and years and years and years to clean it up, because out of their hurt and their pain from what has been done to them. So pray for these people. Pray for those involved right now with what's happening in the church and in Christian broadcasting. Pray for them. We're called to pray for them. We don't have to like what they're doing. We don't have to agree with them. We just have to pray. So pray for them. Go to the Lord with it. See what the Lord has to say. It's okay to process information. Just make sure you're not processing it through the labyrinth of your emotions, and you're processing it according to a biblical plumb line and what the Lord wants you to see in it. Because we're watching the same happen in the church and the government right now. And the Lord is going to process the people around Donald Trump too, if they want to let their intellectualism get in the way of God's mission. He will most certainly process them as well. God is no respecter of persons. So just remember that tonight. Remember that tonight as we go forth. I pray this made sense to you, what the Lord had me to say, because I felt the release in saying it, and all glory be to God for it. It's a circumspect time in the church, and it's a time in the church where there's a shakeup happening and a public forum. And the church cannot look more dysfunctional than the world. The church is supposed to be a place for the sick, not a place to breed dysfunction and turn it into a man-eating plant. Although none of us will be perfect, the church will never be perfect. But still, we're meant to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And I sometimes wonder, if Jesus had a camera, what would he come on and say? What would he come on and say? What would he come on and say about these things? I think he'd be weeping. I think he would be weeping at the state of the church and what man has done. God has given us a window here in this nation, church. We have been given a gift of liberty and freedom and a window of grace that all nations do not get. Please don't squander it right now. Don't squander it. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Rise to the occasion. Rise to the occasion. And most importantly, there has to be repentance in this. A repentance is a full turning from your actions. It is not just, I'm not going to do it for 2 days and I'm going to go right back to it. Full repentance. Full. Turning from it, don't look back. Run towards the Lord and his mercy and throw yourself at the altar of his mercy. Repentance is desperately needed right now in the church. We all should repent. My gosh, almost every day. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I repent, Father God. If I have done something to offend you, Father God, I turn from it. That is a healthy fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. So the fear of the Lord needs to re-enter the church. So wisdom can re-enter the church. Because people have whitewashed the power of God, and there is little fear of him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is the order God expects us in. And let's just remember that as we go forth. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, a couple things before we end. I still feel the Lord. I just still feel it. Like, I just feel the Lord, and he's brooding, and he's moving, and he's just, all glory be to your name, Lord. Oh, we're like filthy rags in his sight. We are. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we are filthy. We're filthy. You know, too, I'm going to say this last thing. We have to be careful we don't take the influence God gives us and start torching innocent people. And I said that before, but I'm going to give you a biblical example and leave you with this mental picture before we go. Elijah, one of the most incredible prophets, showdown on Mount Carmel, right? Prophets of Baal, fire from heaven. He gets cocky. And he goes and he sits up on a hill. And now Ahab sends soldiers against him, like cohorts of them. And he keeps calling down fire from heaven and torching every soldier. So he's destroying the good with the bad. because not all those soldiers wanted to hurt him. But they wanted him to go see Ahab. And by the third time, the soldier falls on his face and says, please have mercy on us. I just want to bring you to Ahab, wants to talk to you. And the Lord tells him he's not going to hurt you. Go with him. Soon after Elijah pulled that, it was from the Lord.
Elijah to the principal's office, please. Elijah to the principal's office, please.
And they say the Lord sent a chariot and took him. You know why? Part of the reason is Elijah was getting destructive. The power he had been given, he was just going crazy. And he was hurting innocent people now in the middle of his battle with Ahab. So he went from that Mount Carmel moment to torching people like marshmallows, and not all of them were guilty. But because they were all soldiers, Elijah judged them all the same. You see what I'm saying? And he did that, and the Lord said, Elijah to the principal's office, please. Elijah, now to the principal's office. And the chariot came and took him. That's a good picture for you to keep in your mind. Also, you podcasters, keep that picture in your mind as you go forth. Got to be careful. You don't want to be called to the principal's office, let me tell you. Okay. It's funny. It's true, though. Think about it. It's true. Like, what happened? That whole thing. All right. Now, our newsletter and prayer line. Let's put that up. Okay, you could go to arcofgrace.org. On the front page, there are two buttons. One of them is the newsletter button. It is free. We send it out to you for free. You don't have to pay a dime. Just sign up for it. You can sign up for our text blast too. We do send out text messages. You can sign up for the newsletter and the text if you like. So if you go to arcofgrace.org, right on the front page, there are two buttons. And one of them is the newsletter sign up. Also, we have some, the prayer line. Here are our two numbers, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. We have amazing women waiting to pray with you and to help you and to listen to you. So please, it's free. Once again, we don't charge a thing. Just call the prayer line. You need prayer, please call. Also, I have to show you a couple of these animal pics quick that our team did to our animals. Our team did this. So, yep, Morty's got a candy cane, yep, in his little house. We got him a candy cane for this time of year. And here is Grace. I can't believe what they did to this horse. They have completely decked this horse out for this season. Oh, there's Grace. And there's Gideon, all dressed up and ready for that time of year. So cute. Oh, Gideon. Up there's Grace again. Yep, our team thought this was fun, and they dressed. That's Grace also in her purple winter coat. There's Esther in front of her little tree, who she's knocked down about twice now. This tree is gone. Bye-bye. We have put it back up every time. She looks innocent. She's not. Trust me. The cat is, she is, I named her appropriately because she wants to bust in on everybody's business. Okay, let me just put it that way. She's adorable and we love her, but she wants to bust in on everybody's business. So, yep, there they are. Making Grace pose. Make her pose. There you go, Grace. Okay. Also, we're just going to put up QE Strong and Sentry H2O very fast. So we're just going to put this up real quick for you guys. Oh, there's Toby. Toby is wearing the pain patch from QE Strong and actually seems to help Toby. So we have started putting the pain patches on him again because it's cold here. It's going down to 4 degrees next week, guys, one of the nights. I mean, it is cold. So basically, they have patches, all natural health solutions. You can use them on your pets, too. So you can go to, I believe it's QEStrong.com. Use promo code ARC for a 15% discount. And this is Century H2O. It's a 5-stage under the sink water system. They also have one for your whole house. It removes the toxins from your water and for your pets as well. Let me tell you something. Pets can get stones and other things from tap water. So this actually will help your pets as well, especially if they're fighting health issues. You can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry partners. You can click on the Century link and you can use promo code GRACE10 for a 10% discount. Praise the Lord. Okay, everyone. This has been a wonderful time together. I've been heating up this whole time. I have been talking. So all glory be to God. And thank you for hanging in there with us. God bless you during this time. I'll try to take some pictures of me baking for all of you. Keep the faith, armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Why? Because the word works. The word must be spoken. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, by speaking it. So we encourage you in the word. Get in the word more with the Lord. In fact, I pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord gives you more of a hunger for the word during this time. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I say those scriptures every day. They're also in the Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. Amazing book for those in your life who have just come into the faith. It's an amazing book to get for them. The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. Also, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way for good reason. And we should be taking note of that. And we should be adding this to our prayer life. Our prayer life is our communication with the Lord. We need to be in constant communication with him, because how else are you going to know what the Lord feels and thinks about things unless you are in daily communion and walking with the Lord? So I encourage you, if you don't speak to the Lord a lot, speak to him. We're not talking fancy prayers. Come to him in the name of Jesus Christ and just talk. He wants your heart. He wants to hear your heart. So I encourage all of you out there right now, please let him hear your heart. Open yourself up to him. Man may have failed you. God will not. Open yourself up to him during this time through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We love you. And we will be back on early next week, unless something else happens here, which given what's going on in the nation right now, you never know. But we will be back on, I believe, the latest very early next week. So God bless everyone. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together. And we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue, it helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.